Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. If you've been listening already, then you know that we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to get smarter because Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. William Dunkelberg is chief economist at the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB. He's also professor of economics at Temple University and formerly the chairman of that whole department. And he's here to talk to us about the most recent survey that he's conducted getting small business owners from across the country to respond to his questions about how are things going out there in the marketplace. And these people have responded to him, given him the answers. He's compiled it into a report, and he's here with it right now to tell us about it. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing this morning?
We're doing great. It's good to have you back.
Thank
hey, Bill,
you.
I know you just got back from Eastern Europe. And I think the Czech Republic, were you anywhere else besides there?
Right, in Poland.
What? I know you didn't spend a lot of, you didn't go over there on a fact-finding mission or anything, but if you don't mind, in general, what do you feel like? I mean, I know if you walked around over there, you made some observations. What do you think about that part of the world?
It's doing very well. They, of course, are very busily adopting, market economies, moving toward market economies. I think Poland actually converts its currency next year to the euro.
Really?
I think the Czech Republic would be 4 or 5 years down the line yet. You go there and you see people who are happy. And there are lots of people over there. The place looks very nice, and they're doing a lot of development there, of course, infrastructure and so on, trying to get ready for the already heavy volume of trade that they have now with their the Western European partners.
What are they making over there? What are their big industries in that part of the world?
That's really changing very dramatically. They're doing a lot more high tech stuff now. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of manufacturing. They have a lot of skilled workers who are considered to be relatively inexpensive, and many of them, of course, are moving to France and Germany and Britain because they can earn a lot more money there than they can in their country. So there's still major wage differentials between the Eastern Bloc countries that are in accession now to the EU and their EU partners. But those differences are, as happens when you have a free flow of resources, when people are free to move and free to choose, mm-hmm. Those differences start to melt away fairly quickly.
Well, one of the things that I know about that part of the world is the people are embracing entrepreneurship quite a bit.
Absolutely.
I've met some people from the Republic of Georgia in the past, and they were excited about what their opportunities were. But I did remember, that they seem to still have some of the old socialistic constructs over there, like 6-week mandated vacation and things like that. What does it look like that? What do those things look like in Poland and in the Czech Republic?
They have some of those things still, and of course they have kind of what they characterize as free medical care and things like that. But when you talk to people on the street, they'll tell you that it doesn't work as well as they'd like to see it as you start mm-hmm. to find out all the flaws that are there. But they're very happy about where they are compared to where they used to be. Those poor countries, the Czech Republic and Poland, have been, they're between big economic powers, and of course they've spent most of their years under somebody else's domination, so they're real happy to be free. We took a great walking tour with a 75-year-old guy called History of Communism, and he walked us all through you know, showed us the balconies where the communists came in and announced that it was a new and better world. And then, of course, the balconies where somebody announced the new and better world wasn't so good after all, so we'll have another one, and so on. So they're, you know, so they're doing pretty well. Looks pretty. It looks pretty healthy there if you're in town.
What is the tax structure in those countries? Do you know?
That I don't know. I'm not very familiar with the taxes at all, so I
because
can't
some
give you
of
any
the,
information about that.
Some of those countries, I think, are doing a pretty good job of adopting a more entrepreneurially friendly type of tax system, rather than say the Scandinavian or the Western Europe.
The Eastern Bloc countries in general have been moving toward a flat tax, including Russia, of course.
Exactly.
Russia has a flat tax as well.
Yeah.
So that's been fairly successful in general in the Eastern Bloc countries.
Thank you for that report, that travel log there, Bill. And of course, we live vicariously through you, and so thank you for that. We're going to be back, folks, right after this message and these messages, and we're going to talk about the survey, the report that Bill has conducted with small business owners about the economy. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And for the last many decades, for a number of years now, Bill has been polling small business owners every month and compiling a report on their responses that they've given him about what's going on out there in the economy. How are they doing with regard to having pricing power, with regard to hiring and their employment levels, their backlogs? Can they find capital to grow? Are they able to find enough people? What's their level of optimism about the economy? All those kinds of things that they report to him, and compiles that report, I should say, and we're one of the people he lets have it, and we really appreciate that. Bill, what are your people saying? What's the big concern right now on your folks' minds?
Well, apparently small business owners aren't real optimistic about the strength of the economy for the rest of the year. So the index fell another point or so, and that gave us like 13 out of the last 14 months in which we were below the historic average of 100, and we're sitting around 96 now. So it's not a recession signal. We aren't getting that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just, you know, they're saying, well, you know, we don't expect sales to really grow very much.
Are we talking ourselves into this, Bill? Are we talking ourselves into this, or are there real? I mean, I know we got some real indicators out there. I know gas prices. I mean, you know, forget what the Dow is doing. Small business owners are getting hit by extreme gas prices, gasoline prices, and things like that.
Yeah, and of course that's just a tax on all of us, right?
That's right.
We send the money to somebody else, not in our country, unfortunately.
Right. But, I mean, well, I guess what I'm saying is, as I was asking, is part of the negative attitude about the economy, is the media helping us to talk ourselves into this? Or is the political process contributing to us talking ourselves into it? Because I think it is possible for us to talk ourselves into a slowdown. What do you think?
Well, I think it's possible. If you can get everybody to believe what you believe and you happen to think the economy's not going to do well, you know, then you know, we could kind of scare ourselves into a major slowdown, possibly even a recession. And it is true that we don't get, you know, President Bush doesn't come out and talk about how good the economy is very much, and we still have one of the lowest unemployment rates in history and the highest employment rate outside of what we saw in 2000 during the crazy dot-com period. So we're doing very well. Inflation, we don't like inflation where it is, but historically we're still doing very well on inflation. So the economy really is very solid, and of course in the second quarter pretty clearly picked up substantially from the first quarter, so that's good. But, you know, that's not news, so we don't really hear about it.
You know, another thing a lot of people don't realize is that when they're talking about oil prices, I mean, obviously the Middle East heavily influences oil prices. But most of our oil doesn't come from the Middle East, does it?
That's right. We get most of our oil from Canada and Mexico, and of course, crazy Venezuela.
Less and less, I think, from him, though, now.
Probably less, but, you know, we don't really get our oil from there. But it's definitely a global oil market, and there's no question but what the remarkable growth stories in India and China are really responsible for what's happened to oil prices. I mean, they have been growing very strongly over the last 5 years and very quickly, and so their growth has exhausted any excess capacity we had to produce oil worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a long time to find new stuff and to bring supply on. So,
and it's more expensive to bring it in these days too.
Right. So in the meantime, you know, the price of oil is going to be $70. I mean, maybe it could be higher than that even, because we're just eating it up faster than we're able to dig it out.
In the face of all that, small business owners are feeling the inflationary pressures, but they seem to be able to pass some of that along, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Well, you know, bad news for the Fed. We had 31% of the firms raising prices, and I think 13 cut price average selling prices. And then we take the net of that, seasonally adjusted. It was 19. That was up a couple of points in June. And way, way too high to make give the Fed any comfort. Go back to 2003 when the inflation rate, the core rate, and the headline CPI rate of inflation was down around 2, which is where you'd like to see both of them. We had a net for the year, an average of 3% of our firms raising selling prices. Now at 19, you know, no hope of really keeping the inflation rate down as long as that's happening. And you can't do that unless you have customers to pass it on to, which means the economy must be pretty good.
But aren't we?
Of course, everybody's got a common problem these days, and that is compensation costs are rising, and
yep.
So we're passing them on.
Well, and part of that's going to be attributed to the that's not going to get any better because the minimum wage increase is coming up.
That's right. That didn't help. That's law now, and it's going to be bubbling up through there. So down at the low end, where we try to hire people and give them their first work experience. Most people's first work experience is in a small firm, and this is where you get on-the-job training, you know, become a productive member of the labor force.
Right.
We're trying to keep that from happening, you know, by raising the minimum wage and making it harder for lower skill and young people to get those initial jobs.
It's That's amazing to me how we have the so-called leaders of our government are making decisions based on their own political expediency rather than what's best for this country. And it's, I'm afraid it's, I hate to sound like a doom and gloom here, Bill, but it may be our undoing. I don't know. Tintail, right back with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg. We're going to try to find some silver linings in all this, all these clouds, right after these messages. Stay with us. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB. That's NFIB.com, and as you know, that's an organization that I've been a member of for a long time, more than 15 years, and I encourage you to check them out, and if someone calls on you with the NFIB, I encourage you to give them a little bit of your time and consider joining them and letting your contribution contribute to them working for you and me. In not only in our nation's capital on small business, on the behalf of small business, but also in our state capitals. Bill, the website for where they can find the report, give it to us, besides NFIB.com.
Smallbiz.org, SMALLBUS.org.
O-R-G, and of course you can find it on my homepage as well.
Right, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Okay, what are some other things, Bill, that we need to know about the way the economy is trending for small business?
Well, the good news, of course, continues to be the strength of the job market. Two of the 10 indicators in the index are the employment indicators, the job openings, and the plans to create new jobs. And those really have remained very solid and kept the index up there. And, of course, we have a great labor market. I mean, every month, we're producing 130,000 new jobs, which is really amazing, given that we're fully employed. I mean, and that's the problem that we have.
That's my question, Bill. I mean, think about this. Are you you're the one who's told us that there may be as many as 2 million jobs going wanting in the United States. We've got I think some of your surveys have shown that that's the biggest concern for small business owners is finding key people to fill those jobs. And we're growing. May's numbers were indexed up from where they originally said it was going to be. We created a lot more jobs in May than they thought. June's looking pretty good for jobs. July's looking pretty good for jobs, it seems. If we're that short of people for these jobs and we're creating all these new jobs, is it possible that we could implode, Bill?
Well, it's always possible. Something can happen, and, you know, like, for example, consumers could decide to save. That would be, I mean,
I don't think that's going to happen.
We've had 2 years in which collectively, you know, you and I have spent more than our after-tax income, and we're doing that by selling stock back to companies. That is, we're on net, we're liquidating, as consumers, we're liquidating shares through the company buybacks and so on. We're selling our stocks back, getting cash, and trying to put it somewhere, which is, of course, helping to keep the market up. And we're borrowing money. So we keep doing that. Now, if the consumer's saving rate goes from -1 or -2 up to 0 or +1 or +2, that would be an immediate decline in spending that we could make up for with capital spending and so on, but it takes time to make that transition, so you could have, you know, a weak spot in your economy.
Right.
Happen. I wouldn't call it an implosion, but it could happen. But it's really hard to think about, to kind of figure out what disaster could happen that would really... send us...
Well, could productivity start dropping off, for
example?
Well,
it is. Well, productivity does drop off the way we measure, because it's output per hour. And think about it this way. We've already hired kind of all the good workers, and now we're hiring marginal workers. Well, marginal workers, don't get as much done per hour as, you know, the best workers. And, again, when you're fully employed, productivity usually... starts to suffer, because you're not getting, you've already hired all the really good people, so you're hiring less qualified people to try to get the job done. So if you go back to the beginning of the expansion in, 2003, we were doing 250,000 jobs a month, and now we're doing 130, and part of
right.
that reason is that you can't, one in four of our people still tell us they have a job opening and they can't fill. And they're looking,
Bill, what do you...
50% trying to hire, and 84% said... few or no qualified applicants for the job.
What's your advice to our small business listeners for the rest of the year?
Well, just keep plugging ahead. There's really no real risk that we're going to go into a recession. So start thinking about 08 and what you're going to do there, and see how your markets are looking, and line up your cheap capital now, because interest rates will go up. And go with
you
that.
You think the Fed's going to raise rates?
I don't know if the Fed will raise rates a lot. If they're going to do anything this year, I think they'll raise rates, because the inflation problem is going to persist. But that's really, that's the overnight rate, and that'll affect the prime rate. But, at our little bank, most of the loans we make are, long-term, 10, 15, 20 years, 5 years, and they reprice in 5 years. So, it's nice to get a cheap rate now.
Right.
The interest rates we think are going to go up are the 10-year Treasury and the 20-year
right.
Treasury for two reasons. One is there's...
Bill, I'm going to have to...
Forgive me.
I have to wrap it up. You just always have more information than we have time for us. Thank you for that, and we'll see you next month.
All right. Take care.
Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.